and she said that'd be very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't heard a word back from her. I said, if you want to talk about anything else,
mm-hmm.
I know they were brewing on doing that.
Mm-hmm. If we went through the typical planning process, we'd never get this thing done.
I was very clear with her.
Council has already had multiple threats, workshops, hearings, forums.
But she knows that.
Yeah.
Okay, so are we
number 20? Except before we make any of this, I should. Who's going to structure the finance plan specifically for the affordable housing?
What does that question mean? I'm not sure.
Well, there's a lot of sources of money here involved. There's private money, there's grant money, there's possible loans from this entity. Somebody's got to orchestrate all that, make sure that everybody shows up at the right time on their money.
If somebody's going to go out and get money, that would have to be RAM taking the lead, I think.
Because we need to make that clear that that's their responsibility.
Orange Community Housing and Land Trust can partner with them in seeking funding from the Housing
right.
Finance Agency or anybody else. But I think RAM's got to take the lead on it and do the applications, that sort of thing.
We agree.
And we cannot do that for them, hopefully.
But if we were going to do pass-through money, we would do it through Orange Community Housing.
If we were going to do pass-through money, we would do it through Orange Community Housing.
That would be on a case-by-case basis. And
yeah. But I think the main source of funding is a housing finance agency. That's your best shot, isn't it?
Yeah.
And is there an assumption in the model, John?
Yep, sure is. We had to make assumptions on our numbers, so the name follower.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you remember what the number was?
It was a combination of a loan with low interest rate and then a grant of X dollars. I can't remember. But it just seems like the standard way to go in North Carolina.
There was a combination of a loan to the buyers or to the developer?
I think it was to the developer.
To the developer.
That's a huge assumption. You kind of know what
exactly. That's why I brought it up.
Well, they'll have to pursue it. We can't deliver that for them.
We've got to give it to them tomorrow.
They have to deliver on their own.
Well, I think we should double check what's in the model before tomorrow so we know what.
John can do that right now.
I don't think we want to be guessing about that.
I don't know, I didn't bring it with me because it's just kicked up.
You mean the proposal?
No, it's in there, but it's, I know what to look for in our work. It's in there. It's in there, yeah, sure.
Is that summarized?
No, here? No. It's in the preliminary notebook on what we submitted in September.
Your notebook?
Spring, yeah. Oh, yeah,
that.
When did you submit it?
I don't know.
Is it the first one?
Yeah. This is going to take a little bit of time because
it's all right.
It's a pretty big percent. I mean, it's 18% of the units. Not 20.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's typically zoned prepare a detailed finance plan until you're, say, your building is selected. And that's what I'm saying. I don't think that they've been paying attention, be my guess.
Ken, who's building that great big house with all the framing is part of further that now on the Eastwood Lake? Do you know, is that the job that you're in?
Well, I'm a carpentry subcontractor.
Yeah.
It's Chris Bogan and Mary Jo Burnett.
That looks like a great big place.
It was already big, and I never figured out anything. It's pretty ugly out. I mean, it was ugly before, and then but
it's going to be a lot easier to see now.
Yeah. Well, you could have a lot of trees in front, but the thing is that it's the nicest lot on the lake.
Yeah.
And it's 2 acres, and the cloud is a floodplain, and you probably know that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the rain, but it's just amazing. Everybody walks through the house to the back, all these windows, and
yeah,
they don't pay attention to anything else.
Yeah.
But it's a nice thing. It's pretty amazing what's happening to real estate over there.
Hmm.
I mean,
they're starting these $1 million houses over there, man.
Easily. They're moving out of the house across the street, mm-hmm. and they're listing for $900,000. And I don't know if they'll get it, but yeah. They've been told they will. I mean,
it's pretty funny. They got all excited. They said they're going to spend a lot more money on their house because of the asking price for their old house, but they didn't.
But,
does that mean I can now plan on buying Mercedes?
Okay.
When I sell my 10-year-old Volvo,
right,
because I'm going to ask for $20,000?
It's like, I have a little rental house in my backyard, somebody has to do what I want for. I said, I like about $8,000 a month. I mean, you know. But, anyway, there's some other real estate over there that is really, I mean, somebody was talking about selling a box of $750,000. Sure, they could pull a chest, but.
Okay. Well, I sold a lot for going for in Greenland.
Mm. Well, no, I know my parents sold a lot. They did just fine with it, but I know that the people could flip it down for a year later, a year and a half later, for probably $80,000. In certain places, those take the point. I'm meeting with somebody else over there this afternoon to talk about another remodeling over in that part of the world. And Carolina has to have a big spec house for sale over there.
Oh, really?
It's
1.8 million.
Wow. You know, the old days, spec houses, you never did that.
They cut out all the trees there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think she dropped the price for that. Yeah, it's on the lake. And there's a house on the ninth hole of the country club that from the backside looks like a fraternity house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a spec house. And I just can't believe how big it is. I mean,
it's a couple of rooms.
I assume that it is. I think that's all the match for it.
Hmm.
I don't know why you want a house out there. I mean, if you had 15 kids, maybe you would, but I just can't imagine.
Hmm.
A
house right across the main lake. 27,000 square feet.
Good Lord.
Second home for 2 feet.
Everybody over there is hot, are they?
That is lost.
27,000 feet.
I know,
we're working some, but it was 22,000 feet.
What's the rumor in town every time? 12,000 square feet?
I heard it was 12. Maybe 2. Well, it was better, but there was a whole separate gymnasium extra room that was, you know, like 6,000 square feet.
You could put a lot of rooms in.
Yeah, yeah.
27,000 square
feet. How long did they have a building?
That's it. On 3 lots. Each lot was 8,000 both.
God, that's a nice lot. I don't know why you want to go there. Yeah, I mean, I just don't know why you want to go there. I mean, go through that. I mean, this is the thing I'm working on, taking almost a year. And it's gone fine, but it's too long. I mean, it's just.
I think I might be able to find it.
Yeah.
I can't get it. I'm going to go here. Wrong statement. here.
Where's that big, you remember that sheet that we invented that shows the timing and the all the cross elements that should be in that? Where's that big folder sheet, Chris? Another one top four, I think.
For here, you got it.
Well, no, you know, for buildings, everything, trying to figure out the best way to do each thing. And how something.
See, show up in there.
But, you know, I stuck out of town. I really made our house have the same bar here as in the sewer. And that makes sense to me, you know.
Or they have hollow core doors and lows.
Well, you see, that's what builders do to you. They'll show you the same door.
Probably not.
Well, or that they'll say.
They'll have to play with the door.
People are impatient and they won't take the time to go to customer house.
No. And you know, ultimately.
Well, I remember John was talking about the possibility of getting.
Although I work for Portland, we're better.
Friends from housing finance, but I don't remember having this.
Well, I'll get a number going on.
Well, we have the principal number there.
There had to be.
Let me borrow that for now. Maybe I can.
You could think it would be right there under page 11 or 12, but all it is a voting budget.
Yeah.
I always like working for buildings for retailers because you always knew when you were going to get it done. It has to be done by the deadline.
Well, whoever said this is going to be an all-day meeting knew what they were talking about.
John and Glenn. They've been here before.
I lost track of what it is you're looking for.
Looking for the financials on the affordable housing, what we're assuming they're going to be getting as far as
they were.
Have you seen anything like that before?
As I said.
Hey, the assumptions on the affordable housing, where are they? You know, the affordable for grants and the loans. Or can you find them on your own computer? Yeah, I'm looking for assumptions that I'm out of mind. If you can tell me what they are, I'll take it. The wreck was on the driver's side, the passenger side airbag deployed, but the driver's side didn't. Standard complications from some stomach.
Her mother's like 78.
75 or 75.
And she was drunk. Her brother's gone.
First of all, where is it? Is it not
the
Sally's mother in the
Pelvis are injured. Now, was this, it's not our son. But, okay, so he's not loved.
I think
that's a financial summary.
I'm sorry, say the number again.
The second lead story was about a mass baptism participated by the Denver church trip to Africa.
Well, that sounds like her brother.
Okay.
That's a great. Has she got a real number caller?
She got a section of that just now. There's a section two. Summary of
that. Okay, what else? Isn't there one more loan? Was there a loan for the loan? Yeah. Junior debt of 2.5, and I think the junior debt of 2.5 is a special loan from the affordable housing industry. Yeah,
what's the deal?
Say that again.
What's the deal?
There's a three projects. One is an $800,000 grant from, is it FHLD?
What is that?
FHLD is Federal Housing.
Home Loan Bank?
Yes.
Okay.
The second part of the senior debt at 4.25%, and the third part of the junior debt at 2.5%. And I think the source of money for the 2.5% low interest loan was a North Carolina agency. And I'll have to look at my report. Remember, I spent all that.
Right, but so the point is that these were estimates you made in your pro forma assumptions. So you haven't found anything in their proposal about.
I thought they mimicked or copied our pre-cost plans.
This is grant-FHLD/TCH land participation,
$800,000. If we didn't get the money from FHLD, we would look to you to reduce the.
So, is there some amounts associated with this senior home
here?
That was lot 5 only.
Yeah,
and then there's $300,000 on the Wallace set.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Yeah, good point. I've got a budget bill.
You saved a piece of heart, Carol.
Wow, that's
mm-hmm. No, it's in there.
Oh, it's in there.
I'm looking for page 11 as well. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what the budget is.
Here's.
So our working assumption right now is they've accepted these numbers?
Yeah, they've assumed that they can get these numbers. That's right. That's a hell of an assumption. That's what I'm saying. Somebody's got to start digging and getting commitments. And
then how's this address in there that you use?
He says, I heard this one for the housing.
Gotcha.
So we have their pro forma cost.
I guess is what we're interested in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it says through, something called Orange County.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For example.
Lot farm, this is lot five only.
Right.
The total value is $4,172,000.
How many units? Couldn't break it down. It's okay, it's keep going.
Got 417,000 of equity. Got a senior mortgage of it says here, Fannie Mae, FNMA, 75% of debt, interest rate 4.25%, term 20 years. And we've got a junior mortgage, a junior debt, Fannie Mae, 25% of debt, interest rate 2.5%, term 25 years. That's what went into the model.
And
then a grant from 800,000 from Federal Housing Loan Bank, which provides loans like this for affordable housing. And we didn't guess at this. We found a program under the Federal Housing Loan Bank, which I can find for you, that provides grants. And that's $800,000 was based on a grant that they probably offered to another entity, or whatever the policies and principles are.
Then later on, you have $300,000 on the loss debt.
Okay. You want me to look that up, or you want me to look at some?
So,
federal housing.
An element to this is the town's interest in making pass-through money available for buyers. I mean, is it?
We don't have any pass-through money.
Well, when we do our affordable housing budgets, we earmark so much of home money. Right. I mean, that's a fairly predictable amount of money that we have to make available to buyers.
Subsidy. Right. Like Vineyard Square, for example, this year we had 10 at $10,000
to lower the price. But we also make grants to, for example, Habitat for Infrastructure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Out of community development block grant money.
City.
So I mean, if I was RAND, I would be asking the staff.
Well, I'll tell you one thing we're going to do. It's my opinion is to take this memo that Spree prepared on September 10th and give it to the RAND. So it identifies multiple sources of financing for affordable housing. That would be the first thing I could do.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you could pursue it.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your sources of financing, no kidding.
There's nothing in the RFP about financing affordable housing. That's our conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So we see.
I thought they made some assumptions and assumed the three tranche financing.
Maybe, but
yeah. I think I'm pretty confident about that.
I haven't found it yet. Speaking of.
Now, the RFP incorporates financial analysis by reference. So it's in there, it's in front of them, but they may not know it.
Right.
I bet you they do know it.
Right.
Is there some capital for the town by controlling this past? Can we earmark?
It's not passed, but it comes to them.
So we administer the money.
No.
The community development block grant money or the home money.
I thought you were talking about the grant or loan money the later we got.
I'm talking about the other side of the deal that we have more control over. Because we earmarked part of that for this project.
I think it's highly unlikely that anybody who is able to buy one of these homes is going to qualify for CD.
Well,
it
has to be 80% of needed. This is the council's target.
But they're not going to qualify for grants, are they?
Well,
but they the way Robert
they get a second mortgage.
Second mortgage, right. Yeah.
But they're not going to be low enough income to qualify for a grant. Or they couldn't afford to live.
We've never done.
Yeah.
Grant is just a deferred. It's a deferred loan, mm-hmm. basically. If
you buy down the mortgage, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Right.
And then we forgive that mortgage.
No, we get
it. You get it at the sale.
Lien on the property, and you get it back at sale. Right. It's not resold to another loan.
That would help them in selling them, but it won't help them in building them. Their first challenge is
to build them.
Yeah.
Right.
Then Orange County Housing and Land Trust will help them match up the buyers. And part of what they could draw on would be the town's ability to provide second mortgage money if that were used.
So my question is, and it's maybe if we earmarked $500,000 towards mortgage reduction, can we somehow get credit in deal as part as a capital contribution of some type?
I think that just benefits the individual owner and would not benefit RAND. That's the amount.
I think that's what the benefit would involve, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the money would, the sale would go, because it's a reduced price.
Because RAND is going to get the same amount of money.
Right, that's right. Okay.
It increases the richness of the resources available to the purchasers, but does not
help RAND. Right, because the burden is
raised. Right. Okay. And we'll probably have to do that kind of thing in order to guarantee that there's some people of low income in there.
That sounds a memo of the
copy for you. Do you want this copy too? This tape or just this one?
Just a second.
This one right here?
I thought she just gave the ring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the conclusion is we're going to give RAND that spring memo.
Yeah. And wish them well. And if they panic, that's going to tell us something.
And when we're fine by just making a statement in the
It's up to them to figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
And they've got the model. They've got we have a four tranche.
A what?
Four tranche.
What is four tranche?
Pieces.
You got private equity at 10%, you got grant money, and you got senior debt at 1.25 for 20 years, and junior debt at 2.5 for 25 years. So that's a formula that's for them to go by, and they need to go find it.
That's where it started, and if they want to change the formula, so long as the bottom line is the same, we don't care.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right.
Those are reasonable assumptions that we made, and we can back it up with specific documents.
Okay.
And once Orange County does their lease, it's affordable housing forever, so for 99 years.
Yeah.
So you don't have to monitor that. They do that.
They do that.
They handle all the resales and qualify.
Yep.
Resale assistance.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're on number 20 and I
push this back to 19. Well, the reason I brought up Route 20 is, and then Section 10, so you know this is on our optional path. At some point, I think it would be beneficial to prepare a cash flow investment schedule for Lot 5 and Wall 6 from the town's perspective. Exactly when we're going to get the money and exactly when we need to invest the money. We've done that on the entire project. We haven't done it since then, under the assumption that we have now for the project.
Seems like the time to do that would be after we were near the completion point, rather than now, because we just have to do it all over again.
Well, the reason I'm suggesting to do it now is to find out whether we got a problem.
You know we've got a problem. Right now. The thing probably is we don't know what they're going to do on the wall step.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, let's go down.
Hang on to that, but let's wait till we get a little further into the process so we do it with some certainty and not have to do it over again.
And 21 is a backup. So you're going on a board shift, but I didn't know whether you wanted to do a back of the envelope calculation to see what.
I would prefer if TIF is not mentioned tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I would prefer if they're desperately stuck that they come begging for TIF, but TIF is a fight on the council for sure.
And on the community.
Right.
Do I delete this?
I would delete it.
Delete it.
Yeah. I think this started out as two memos. One was for you, for your eyes only, and one was for Rand. And they ended up combining them. So. I was just thinking, trying to think ahead, and thinking, you know,
yeah, it's fine.
Do we need something to resort to TIF?
I think we've accomplished a lot just going through the memo.
Yeah.
Yeah, this has
been helpful.
Very, very helpful going through this memo.
Good. And then going to the last point, yours, which is how do you incorporate the whole issue of minimizing construction impact on downtown into the MOU, MOU question mark or development agreement?
Yeah, I'll look at those as I understand the development agreement.
Okay.
Yeah. So they've indicated that they're going to do that. So let's see what they're
doing. How do we address the affordable retail space along Rosemary? Do we treat it like a subheading?
Well, we have tenant approval, and I think that's how you do it.
Yeah.
And but in terms of affordable along Rosemary Street, I don't think you know what there is.
I'm actually trying to get them to tell us what the specifics are about that.
I think it's just marketing BS.
Really?
Well, I was sort of waiting to see what they were going to come up with.
It's just BS. They're going to be smaller spaces on the secondary street, therefore they're going to be affordable.
Well, it's interesting. Edith is the one who brought it up, and they just are responding to her by using this label. But there is, I mean, it's exactly what you're saying. Less desirable retail space is, quote, more affordable.
Yeah. Just be cheaper because all they have less exposure.
And smaller square footage.
Well, that's okay.
We have a need for some places that are cheaper and smaller.
And yes, we incorporate the development requirement. See, what I'm saying is to translate that concept into legalese.
I think that would be wise for you.
Otherwise, only more happen.
I think I'm going to stick in a sentence on both those and so that they should focus on them, the students are focused on them.
Right. And they can tell us what it means.
Yeah.
And they can point to it when council members ask about it.
Right.
And on the construction of that, I mean, that'll come up again at the development review, especially the permit construction traffic.
That's right.
So we can take these off this list that we'd hand out tomorrow.
I'm not sure that I want 600 or 999.
Tonight, so it wouldn't be on this list for tomorrow.
All right. Well, John, I don't know if this was a discussion you had in mind, but it certainly seems like a helpful one.
Good.
All right.
We have not really talked about the roles of the negotiating team members, and that's something I'd like to have a better agreement among us about. I don't have a clear concept of how this kind of negotiation works when it works best, because I've not been engaged in very many of them. And the involvement I've had is was 20 years ago in another state. And I'd like to hear from John and Glenn, if you bear with them, Mr. Chairman, how they see these discussions taking place so that we can be sure-footed as we proceed. One of the most valuable things we did in preparation for the negotiations with the university was the work that you encouraged us to do as a negotiating team, figuring out our style and our methods and how we're going to communicate with each other. That really paid off. That's the kind of conversation I'm asking right for now, if that would be appropriate.
Yeah, I think that's an important conversation to have. And I think it's tied into what we were asking John. I'm not clear about the process, that the form of the negotiation, who's going to be running the meeting. Has Rand agreed to work off of your MOU? And is that basically...
They don't have a choice.
Well, they keep walking with their own.
You reject the thing, you always go off your own. You're the town, you get to do that.
Okay.
They don't want to do that, and then typically you adjourn the meeting, you talk about it.
Okay, so that's standard operating procedure.
Here's what happens. You basically get a room like this with just the developer and the city official and some of our expertise, and you go line by line item by line item, and then you're also running financial pro forma concurrently. And then you just keep focusing, refining until you get to the end where we're all on the same page. Then we'll get to be the point at the end of the third or fourth session where we don't have a whole lot to talk about.
We'll be in this room. Right?
So we're going to sit down tomorrow, and we're all going to have a copy of Glenn's MOU, and we're going to pass them out.
And we're going to see where we start. Who's going to lead that discussion?
Right. John and I haven't talked about this, so who knows what's going to happen. My thought would be that John's got a relationship with them. And from what I can tell, I'm looking at the page, it's a good relationship. And just like you all have a good relationship, I think I'd start out saying, here's what we want to do. I think the very first thing, going back to what you all were suggesting, is ask them where they are on loss. And where they are in terms of, and then also make them aware of what the timeline is. And we're looking at an October 10 drop date, which means you got to have it before October 10. And then the concept is
who should be in control of the meeting. We all sit down.
John and myself. I'm going to, John, he was going to take the lead.
Okay.
But I want Glenn to take the lead on going line item by line
item.
Because he's the primary author.
Okay.
And that fits.
And then explain then to the concept of the MOU is the council committee doesn't want to sit down with a 70-page, negotiate a 70-page detailed document. What we want to do at the MOU is cover the business points that you all, that the town views as very significant. These are things that we want to see in one form or another in the development agreement. So we want to get through this so that we're all on the same page, and we hand this thing out and just start going down on a page-by-page basis. They may say that's a deal breaker, then you say fine, we'll come back to that. But you kind of run through it, and John says, with each session, it's just going to get less and less.
Okay.
So it's like a collective bargaining negotiation.
And a lot will actually happen. You know, you come away from this meeting and you're going to have some concept of what the issues are. John and I will be talking to them about those issues, trying to better or to move forward on the town's position, to try to break down so that when we get to the next session, if they say something's a deal killer, we kind of off that, and that they can compromise so that we can come back and discuss something.
All right, so I'm sort of getting what Cal was talking about, just in form, if Cam thinks something's a deal breaker, but the conversation's going by, I mean, strategically, where are we going to sit? How are we going to make eye contact with each other? What are the nonverbals going to be amongst
ourselves? Well, today, over the MOU, we want to find out what the deal breaker is. We need to get strong.
Right.
Now, if they say we're never going to agree to that, then, you know, we know that's a major issue. The response is going to be, we're going to have to come up with something on that because that's critically important. This is important to us.
Right.
My intuition is, Glenn, from what you're saying, that this can be the kind of negotiation where if something occurs to us tomorrow that does not occur to us today, that we ought to go ahead and put it on the table without having to caucus in order to consider. Is that right, or do you want us to caucus?
I like to have a caucus about midday.
Okay, John, that was my next question. How do you hold time out?
Well, in a negotiation, there's nothing wrong with saying a whole lot. We want to break and we want to have some discussions among ourselves. I mean, developers do that. I mean, I do that.
Mm-hmm. All right, so will the town... Can you provide a
room? We've already reserved the second floor conference room all day for Mark, whoever might need it.
Right.
So given the state of the table, getting back to your issue about eye contact, and we're all going to be on one side, and it really is hard to see.
I don't think we should be. I think we should split up.
I agree with this man and agree with that myself, but I don't get hung up on that. Mm-hmm. I'll just sit in the corner as far as me.
But that's fine.
I think that's fine as long as we're
on both sides.
Yeah.
I've got it on the where everybody is interactive, everybody's talks up.
So
if you've got something to say, if it is a valid issue, we talk through it. If it's not, we dismiss it.
I don't know.
I'm not a problem being more informal. These guys are more formal.
If you want a journalist and somebody's gotten really, really angry.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that.
I don't think so either.
We're not that kind of group.
And a deal like this is going to get down to 2 or 3 points. It's not going to be 12 or 15.
Right.
And when we get to the MOU, I'll give you my impression of what they're going to not like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sounds like a table arrangement, the way Glenn was saying it, would make sense with Glenn on one end of the table and the town on the other end, so we can have some eye contact with each other.
Are you going to get them a copy of this tonight?
That was the plan.
Okay. Yeah. Are you?
Yeah.
Seems like it would aid the discussion.
Yeah.
If we
had. How big is their team tomorrow? Yeah.
Could be up to 4 people.
4?
3 or 4. So it'd be Ivy Greener, Susan Russo, Holly Alderman, and one other.
Acock.
Jill Acock. She said potentially.
Bill Acock. Bill who's hanging around a lot of the meetings.
Wait, Bill Acock is Bill Acock is their regional guy.
He was at a lot of the committee meetings.
I don't think that's an attorney.
From Greensboro.
Is that where he is now?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember where Holly
is. He's a Chancellor's son.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He represents the University of the State of Ohio. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay.
Holly's got an office.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
They got two
lawyers. Sure is that Netamon.
Apparently.
They're supposed to be on the same company, but...
I'm just saying. We've got two attorneys. They've got two attorneys. It'll all work out.
And then that state just got higher from school.
Well, your experience is good or bad.
It was fine.
It was a great,
we had some common friends. He told me, I asked him about paying a real estate commission. He said I didn't have to, but he wanted to. So, it was a good one. That was what the realtor thought. So that's all right.
The only thing that I see is it's a
quick sequencing of negotiating sessions, and there's not much downtime. And typically, after you complete a negotiation session, you have to go back to the finance model, or the budget, or both. And
That's the only problem, my potential problem, I see. Maybe we can flush those and find some issues in line items 8 through 12, 8 through 11, 8 through 12.
Well, the financial issues are just very, very large, and they're not at a point today where we can have to do it.
Well, I still think that the shape of this thing is just not firm enough to get too defensive about, and this is an ambitious schedule that way.
Yep.
But we don't really have much of a choice.
I'm not saying, you know, it didn't mean you're going to have to work late. Getting items 8 through 12 done.
It will.
Yes, I was thinking it was RAM. I mean,
RAM's going to have a lot to do, you're right.
Yeah.
They're not going to like this kid.
I think RAM is game.
I think they might be glad to get it over.
Yeah, I mean, this is the one advantage.
Stand up and say, we want to get a shovel on the ground, we want to work through this, we want to get going, we want to work all summer.
Yeah. And we need to eat lunch.
I did email them that draft schedule, and just so they know the potential dates, I didn't hear any concerns other than this day or that day.
Good. I just said with this.
No, not that. Again, the overall schedule.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, with draft on it. An earlier version of that.
Right. Good. Right. Shall we break for lunch?
Let's break for lunch. That'd be great. We have, obviously, there's some, you already know about some changes for the MOU. We have the draft as of this morning before we started.
Mm-hmm.